Well, I want to thank your minister for those very kind words of welcome. It was very good for us to have the invitation to be with you on this special occasion and to rejoice with this congregation and to lift up our Ebenezer unto the Lord and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, to look back upon 50 years of gospel preaching. Not many churches can do that, you know, can look back that length of time, but we could look back and say with assurance that we had 50 years of gospel preaching, and we had 50 years of contending for the faith, and best of all, many precious souls have found a Savior through the work and witness of this congregation. As you all know, I was present at the opening day 50 years ago. I can hardly believe it, but I never thought when I was on that hillside in a tent at that evening service preaching the gospel that 50 years later I would be here with you in this beautiful building so well appointed. And I congratulate your minister and the congregation in the manner in which this church has progressed. Mind you, when I first saw it in 1975, it may not have been as well appointed, but believe you me, I was very glad to see it. And I rejoice in what the Lord has done since then. I suppose when I was asked to come here, you do appreciate that by this time I have finished preaching, so to speak. So I'm old enough now to have this license on occasions like this, just to reminisce a little bit with you and to think back to what the Lord, and I must emphasize that, the Lord did for us, for the many blessings that we enjoyed in those past days. And I want just for a few moments, when we think about how the Lord helped us, why he helped us. And then finally, I just want to maybe leave with you a few words of encouragement as we look into the future. And the work of God goes marching on. I was always, from the very first days in Armagh, linked to this congregation. I was in my own church in Resharkin, but I was involved one way or another with the early days of this congregation. As I said, I was with you when the congregation itself commenced there on the 10th of October 1965. And, of course, in the days that followed, there was no minister, and other ministers had to step in and help and to keep the work going. And I was involved there also with that. And then I believe, and I'm looking back, that I was preaching at the first harvest services in Armagh in 1965. When I look back to those occasions, I thank God for, even then, the people that attended the preaching of the gospel. And on 1966, the presbytery decided to put on a student here in Armagh congregation. And the presbytery appointed me to preach at that meeting. And so the student was installed. And my wife and I were going home in the car, and she turned round to me, and she said, you know, a voice has told me that you will be in Armagh. Well, what does the Bible say? A prophet is not without honour, save in their own country and in their own house. And I'm afraid the remark was cast aside with scorn. I said, we have just put a student in here. And I hope that things will go well. I'm in my own church in Resharkin. I can honestly say before God, I have no desire whatsoever to go to Armagh. And I forgot all about it. But you know, 15 months later, God had impressed upon me that I had to obey Him and come and take up the ministry here in Armagh. So my wife had the last word. The voice really was from God, and I have to give my apologies. And I was installed in December 67. I can't remember very much about it, but there were not very many people there. I know that for a fact. And in 1968, I took up residence here because the church had purchased a manse. It had 25 years mortgage on it, and we were set to go. You know, when I look back on that occasion, with what I was facing, what I looked at, we had a portable hall. We had 30 faithful men and women, and I rejoice and give credit to those people for their stand, which was very, very difficult indeed in those days, to take a stand outside the camp and bearing reproach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were others who attended the little portable hall at that time. We had a congregation of about 60 people. And we had very little resources. And yes, when I look back, I thank God that He gave me the opportunity and the privilege of being a part of what He was going to do. Because I had been in other churches, and we had a fair success over the years in the other two churches, but always the work was very hard. And in those days, the general public and religious leaders were totally opposed to the Free Presbyterian Church. But as I began, the congregation, as I say, were about 60 people. I reckoned to myself that if I worked hard, prayed, looked to God, and asked Him to bless the people, that maybe, just maybe, in a year or two, I could fill that little portable hall, and then we could merely build on the work that we were facing. But to my amazement, the portable hall was filled before I went on holiday in the summer of that year. And when I went on holiday, I wondered when I came back, would they still be here, and would they still come? And well, they did. And you know, not only did they come, but year by year, the attendance grew at a remarkable rate. That's why I say it was a privilege for me, because I know it was God. God worked. God worked in a way that was absolutely amazing. And they had to enlarge the portable hall twice, and year on year, within about 3 or 4 years, we had reached a stage where people were talking about they have to build a church. Well, looking back on the story, talking like that, but when I was looking at it, certainly our income had increased and the numbers were there. But the thought of building a church, because the church itself would have to be seated between 300 and 400, because we had already 200 more, much more than 200. So it was not just an easy undertaking. And yet I knew in my heart of hearts that I would have to go ahead. I would have to move on. And so we did. And we took out a large loan out of the bank, 40,000, which was a princely sum, I can tell you, in those days. I only had one night's loss of sleep over it, but the Lord gave great peace, and because we had to get the money in, and God had to work and bless in those circumstances. There was a time limit on the payments, and we were faced with many problems and many difficulties. And to make matters worse, inflation, honestly, was going between 25 and 28%. That meant that the prices went up every month. So when you were trying to gauge as to what you would do and how you could contend, you never really knew how it was, because it was like building on a quagmire. Everything was changing all the time. And you know, I just want to say something to this congregation this morning. The people that were in the congregation at that time, those people that were there from 65 through to 75, when the church itself was erected and we moved in, and then beyond that even, those people sacrificed for God. I thank God for them. Many of them are in glory, but they had a desire before God that the building must be here in Armagh for the preaching of the Word of God, and stand and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And you know, God met our need, and God blessed. We entered into this building on January the 4th. People may wonder, why on earth did you open up a church in the middle of winter? Well, the fact was that the builder, poor soul, and he had my sympathies, because he was working under terrific strain as well, with inflation running and prices changing every month. And he was supposed to, we had all set for to come and open in September, which would have been much, much better, but it didn't work out. So eventually, he was working with us again, and he wanted to put it up to March. But I said, listen, let's open it. So we did open it in the middle of the winter. But the Lord was very gracious that day, and he said, very mild weather. He had to, because the windows, the frames in the lower part of the building weren't in. And the people, we had a vast crowd of people, and the people who were in the church hall, poor souls, they had to contend with the draft that was really, must have felt quite cold. But nevertheless, the Lord undertook, and we had a great time, and the work of God went forth and went forward in a manner which, personally speaking, I was absolutely amazed at what God did and how he did it. And you know, inside a year or two, the building itself was too small, and God continued to work and move in our midst. And as your minister very ably pointed out in the little history of the work that they gave, God blessed the overflow, because other churches began to be formed through the work here in Armagh. And he mentions there about the church being a mother church, and other congregations were planted over County Armagh. Free Presbyterian congregations were formed in Balmagurney, Dungannon, Market Hill, Mulliglass, Tandragee, and Tullyvallen. I always remember Tullyvallen. Tullyvallen was right there on the border. In those days, it was very dangerous. And people who lived in that situation were in fear of their lives almost every day. And I remember just before the troubles began in 1970, I was invited, I can't remember who invited me, but I was invited to go down to market Newton Hamilton, Orange Hall. And I preached there for 6 months every Sunday at 3:30. In those days, you preached three times a day on a regular basis on a Sunday. And the interest was there, and we had people coming from the south of Ireland, and others, of course, from the district. And when I'd finished, the people were had decided that they would like to come and join here. And then when we got our own congregation here, they actually took that portable hall. I don't know how they did it, but they took the portable hall and they transferred it down to Tullyvallen, and they put it up in the field that was kindly granted. And we began to hold meetings there in the afternoon, and then and before we did that, you know, I can remember over on this side of the church, there was at least 50 to 60 people from South Armagh over there before the church began in Tullyvallen. And of course, we lost them all when the church began there. But you know, when you look back in those days, it was the Lord who moved wonderfully in our midst and blessed and saved souls. And you might say, and I was thinking about this when I had to come here and speak this morning. What is the reason? Why did God do that? Why did God even be insistent that a congregation should be formed here in Armagh? Why was he so determined and in a marvelous way supplied the need? Why did he do it? Well, I believe that you can look back to 1966. In 1966, Dr. Paisley, on behalf of the Free Church, organized a big protest meeting on Assembly Week to spotlight and to expose the teaching and doctrines, the false teaching and doctrines of the Irish Presbyterian Church. Professor J.E. Davey was alive in those days. J.E.D. was the principal of Assemblies College. By his own writings, you see, by a man's words he can be justified, and by his words he can be condemned. And from Professor Davey's own writings, he didn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. He didn't believe in the deity of Christ. And worse still, he didn't believe in the atonement. He said that sin could never be transferred. That once a man sins, that's it. And God would have to forgive him just as it was. Otherwise, he couldn't be forgiven because sin can't be transferred. That's a lie. It's a lie from hell. Sin was transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore in his own body our sins to the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Let me say something to anybody here this morning, and you're not saved. You'll never be saved unless Jesus Christ, his precious blood, is applied to your heart, until your sins are cleansed away in that life-giving stream, because there is no other way. And you know, that parade or protest rally was organized to expose the false teaching and to warn against the Roman trend at that time, and the ecumenical movement, which really was a unity without Scripture authority. It was a unity that is off this earth, and of a unity of the wisdom of man. And that was the great message that was that Mr. Paisley sought on behalf of the witness of this church to send forth that day. And of course, we know that afterwards, three ministers were arrested and imprisoned for 3 months. You see, the church authorities and the state authorities of that day, they tried to crush that witness. They tried to crush it. You remember in the New Testament when Paul and Silas went to Philippi to preach the gospel. They had been sent. They knew for a certainty that God had sent them. They knew for a certainty that God would bless them. But when they went and preached the gospel, they delivered a poor woman who was under the spell of the spirits of darkness. And because the people who had used her to make money saw that their gain was gone, they raged against the preachers. The authorities beat them up without trial. They put them in jail. And you remember what happened. Paul was there with Silas, and they helped them. They must have felt miserable because their backs were bleeding and they'd been beaten and put into stocks, and the situation was dire. It was dreadful. But you know, they began to do what any Christian would be advised to do in that circumstances. They began to pray. And you know, God blessed their prayer time so much that they began to praise God. And that's a remarkable thing, to be in prison and to suffer what they have suffered, not knowing if they'd ever get out again. When would they get out again? But they praised God, and God sent an earthquake. The Bible says it was a great earthquake, not in its extent. No. It just concentrated on the jail that held his people. And the jail was wrecked without loss of life. The jailer was saved. And the stand of those men was vindicated. That they preached the truth. And God had released them to do it. You know, dear friends, I believe, yes, only my opinion, but I believe that when they put those men in jail and tried to crush their witness, that God sent an earthquake to the established churches in this province. He sent a word that what those men stood for in that parade is God's word to this people. And God made a way whereby his word would be heard. And you have this church raised up to declare that word. You have all these other churches, right from Londonderry to Coleraine to Enniskillen, right through to Kilkeel, right across God's vindication. That this is what he wants. He wants the gospel to be preached. I thank God for your minister, you know. I rejoice that there's a man here that's going to preach the gospel. I delight in that. I rejoice in that. That they will stand for the truth. What a state the world's in today. What a hatred they have for the Bible. What a hatred they have for biblical standards. But God is, and he is a rewarder of them that seek him. And he's a rewarder of them that stand for him. And I believe that's why this church was, I believe the whole denomination, that's why it was raised up. Raised up. Because God vindicated the stand that was taken. Even you go back further to Cross Gar, when Mr. Paisley wanted to preach the gospel, but the Irish Presbyterian Church threw him out. And threw him out in such a way that the elders of that church were raging. But they couldn't hear the gospel, and they stepped out. And they said, we will go and form a church where people will hear the gospel. And that's only just a moving on of the will of God. So that's why I believe that we are on firm ground when we take our stand. Firm ground in preaching the word. And firm ground in imposing the false doctrines that abound today. Well, the Irish Presbyterian Church, they have some men in who are evangelicals. Well, I'm not saying that they're not. Born again men, yes, I'm not saying they're not, certainly. When they're getting a moderator, that you have a moderator from the liberal wing. That means he can join in with anybody. And then, of course, you have a moderator from the evangelical wing. It's a strange sort of bird that has many different wings in it. But why is that? Why is that? What does the Bible say? You see, you have to go back to what God says. It says, if any man preach any other gospel, and not which I have delivered unto you, let him be accursed. I don't unite with him. How can I unite with him? It's light and darkness. Let him be accursed. You see, there's no way of popularity. There's no way in which you'll please the world. Paul says, if I please men, I will not please God. If I please God, I will not please men. And my last thought is this, what about the future? Well, you know, when I was saved, that's a long time ago. The young people here will think that maybe I was a friend of Methuselah or something. But when I was saved back in 1949, we were Presbyterians. My father was on the committee of Ravenhill Presbyterian Church. And I came from a godly home, Christian home. My mother had prayed long for me. I was a black sheep of the family. And when I came to Christ through the preaching of Oswald J. Smith, a Canadian evangelist, in McQuist Memorial Presbyterian Church, she was, and even those far off days, she was not happy with the ministry she was hearing. So she advised me to go down the road to the Ravenhill Evangelical Mission Church. She said, you should go there and hear him, that man Paisley, and see what you think. Well, Ian Paisley was just a young man like myself, and I went down to hear him, and I thank God for him. He was a preacher of the gospel. I like men who preach the gospel. I like men who can stand up and tell it as it is, and declares the whole counsel of God as well as the gospel. And I enjoyed my fellowship there. I joined the church and I grew in grace and in the knowledge of Christ through it. And it's just strange the way you remember things from a particular era in your life. You know, I have some verses there in the Bible. I look at them. I can remember the time they had an impression upon me. I can remember the time that happened. And you know, when I was there, there was a hymn that greatly impressed me. And I always think about it and I rejoice in it. It reminds me of those early days, and yet, you know, it is up to date today as it was then. Do you know what the hymn is? When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay. The Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. Then forward still, did Jehovah's will, though the billows dash and spray, with a pushing, a conquering tread, we will push ahead and he'll roll the sea away. You know, that's tremendous. And many a time when I look back on that, and I have been in situations where there has been a sea before me, certainly. Times I have at my wit's end. But you know, God reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. I just leave with you those words, those great words from that hymn, and link it up with what the Bible says there in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're not to forget what God has done. We are to thank God. In fact, when the men didn't thank him, the lepers, when they didn't thank him, he was grieved over that. It's right, you know, to thank God. It's right to have this type of service. But it's not right to lean on it. It's not right to lean on the past. Past is gone. Never to return. Only the today and the future is before us. Let us therefore press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us go forth with a conquering tread, and he'll roll the sea away. Amen.